You're listening to another edition of the Wealth Foundation podcast, where we help educate listeners on how to create a solid wealth foundation to build their dreams. And now your hosts.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Excited for another show. Once again, we have infinite banking expert, Mr. Frank Riedel.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Eric.
Excited for this show. We've been getting some great feedback from the last couple shows, and people are loving the question and answer section. So please definitely call, email us, send us more. We love, you know, addressing some of these questions. Once again, we just want to let you know that we're not giving tax or financial advice, but there is a lot of confusion about the infinite banking concept, what it is, how it works, who's the right agent, what are they setting you up for. And one of the things I noticed that we've been getting a lot of questions on from last show, we did the nuts and bolts about some of the moving parts of these policies. And a lot of people were asking about this modified endowment contract, which creates the taxation that allows us to do a lot of these things tax-free. So I'll go ahead and jump into the Q&A that we received specifically on this topic this week. So let's start off with Larry in New Mexico. And Larry says, I've been an insurance agent for 3+ years, and I don't think I fully get what a modified endowment contract is or isn't. Is the MEC limit something new, or has it always been the case?
Yeah, that's a great question, Larry, and I appreciate that question. I think it's nothing new, okay? This dates back to 1988 and a MEC law, which we'll talk about here in just a minute. But what you find with a lot, I don't know what company you work for or what kind of policies you do. I assume that you're talking about whole life policies, but with whole life policies, you'll find that there are a lot of modified endowment contracts out there. So in other words, policies that, in my opinion, are misdesigned, and they have now become a taxable type of policy. So they're a MEC or a modified endowment contract. So what you find a lot of times is that companies don't train agents on what a MEC looks like. That's something that compliance people understand. That's something terminology that maybe higher up management people would understand. But a lot of just basic agents with companies are never even trained or taught what a MEC or modified endowment contract is. They may hear about it in their continuing education that they have to take, but that's about it. So it depending upon the company you're working for, Larry, it's very likely that they just haven't trained you on what a modified endowment contract actually is. But this dates back to 1988. So 1988, Congress passed what's now known as the MEC law, and the modified endowment contract law was put in place, and that was designed basically make it harder for people who had extreme means to put significant amounts of money into life insurance versus putting it into something that's a little bit more easily taxable. See, life insurance having a tax favorable advantage is a place where a lot of people would love to put money in and have it grow because it's in a safe environment. If you have the right kind of policy, like we talked about with infinite banking, you can access it with non-direct recognition, which means not penalizing you to take the money out. A lot of things you can do with the money, but you have total control. You have total ease and control of what you're doing with the finances. And I think what happened in 1988 was there was an effort to limit how much money somebody could put in these policies without triggering a taxable event. What you're going to find is that the MEC limit is going to be something that is determined from case to case based upon how we construct a policy. But if you're talking about a MEC policy, for instance, and you have a policy now, so I'll assume that Larry, you might be an agent, but you might have a policy. So if you have a policy and you're concerned as to whether or not it's a MEC, I would contact the company that underwrote it, ask them if it is a whole life policy or has it crossed over to becoming a modified endowment contract. And if it is a modified endowment contract, then there's not a lot you can do. There's an old saying, once a MEC, always a MEC. So you may not be able to change that or do anything with it right now, but it's certainly something you want to be aware of so that you don't use the policy in some manner that it wasn't designed to be used, therefore creating a taxable event or a MEC. So I guess I would start with a phone call and just, you know, reference that. But yeah, anytime you're talking about a MEC, this goes back to 1988 and the modified endowment contract law.
Yeah, I think that leads into our next question from Michelle in Gary, Indiana. And a lot of people out there have these policies and they've been told that they have an infinite banking policy and they're not really sure. And one of the things to look for, all right, so let's get to Michelle. She kind of brings this up. She's saying, my husband got a policy from an agent a couple years ago. How can I find out if our current policy is a MEC or not? And a couple more questions. She says, is the MEC limit a set number or is it different? Is it different for different people? And how does it actually work?
Okay. All right. Well, Michelle, let's go ahead and answer that question for you. So that's kind of a 2 or 3 part question, I think. So let me kind of work back to the beginning part of this. And Eric, if I leave anything out, let me know. But
sure.
So first part of that question centered around how do you know? Well, I think that kind of goes back to the previous question we had from Larry in New Mexico, which would be, I would contact the company that you currently have your policy with and find out, is it a whole life policy or have at any point in time, has anything taken place or transpired within the workings of that policy to now make it become a MEC or have it cross over to MEC, you know, status? I would say you probably are in, you know, good shape. I don't know, but it's something you want to check out. Something you want to check out. It doesn't happen often. Usually, policy that's a non-MEC will stay a non-MEC unless you start adding all kinds of additional funds to it and it's not built for banking, then you're going to have problems. But start with a phone call. So I think the other question centered around, is it different for different people, and asking how does it work? So, all right, so let me try to hit these two questions in one. So is it different for different people? The MEC can be different for different people. I could have 30 females named Michelle that are all, you know, let's just say 40 years of age and putting approximate same amounts of money in their policy. And they can be designed where the MEC limit is actually different on each one of those policies. Hard to believe, but it's true. Because the MEC limit is not a hard and fast number, like we say it's $2,000 or $10,000. It is a number that is somewhat flexible based upon how you build the policy. So when you properly design a policy, and again, Eric and I talk a lot about banking policies, you design a infinite banking type of policy, we load those policies with certain types of riders that will allow us to flexibly move and manipulate the MEC line and the MEC limit up to certain marks. So which means that depending upon what somebody wants to do with that policy and how much they want to use it and then how big or how wide does this policy need to be, we can make this policy scalable. It's really not a hard and fast number. It's going to be something that's going to be a little bit different from person to person depending upon how we build it. But one thing that when we do policies, the one thing that all these policies would have in common, even if they had different MEC limits, is they're not a MEC. They're not a MEC today. They're not a MEC 5 years from now, and they're not a MEC 30 or 40 years from now. They will never be a MEC because we designed them to live their entire life of the policy without becoming a MEC. And there are certain guidelines you need to stay within, but that's what we teach our clients and say, listen, here's your MEC limitations. Here's your base policy. Here's how to make it grow and function. But what you're going to need to do is stay within these parameters. And somebody says, well, what happens if, you know, I start having so much success that I feel like I need to go beyond these parameters? I would say don't. Just set up a second policy, set up a third policy, set up your next branch of the quote family bank. So that is definitely, you know, what I would say as far as the MEC goes. It works based upon how we design the policy. So it's a combination of the amount of premium that's going into riders, the amount of premium that's going into base insurance, the age of the client, the sometimes the sex and the state they live in and stuff like that, because they're, again, you got to keep in mind there are actuarial tables and insurance companies run actuarial tables. That's the reason why in the application they ask, you know, what state you live in. It's not because they're trying to discriminate. Lifestyles in certain parts of the country, life cycles are different. And when you have millions of cases to look at, you can, you know, they're completely hypothetical, but you could tell that, hey, maybe a person in Indiana lives a little bit longer than a person in Georgia, or maybe the person in Alabama lives a little bit longer than the person in California. I don't know. But they have models and tables so that they can look at that. So, yeah, it makes a big, big difference. And so it's going to be different for everyone. The MEC limit is something that's, I don't want to say negotiable, but it's massageable. We can be massaged in one direction or the other to either build a little bit more MEC or cap room or a little bit less, but your standard policy that's just designed for insurance, those policies pretty much have a small MEC limit. They're not designed for any kind of growth. They're just simply designed to provide a death benefit, which is fine, but they're not designed as a banking policy. So start with a phone call. You can always call the number on your screen or reach out to us via our website. We're happy to answer your questions. We can take a look at your policy and see if it's functioning as a MEC or if it's functioning as a regular traditional policy. I'll just tell one more little brief story. I had a gentleman who contacted me one time, Eric, and he said, Frank, I've got a policy, but I'm not sure. Can you take a look at it? And it happened to be, it wasn't something that I did for him. It was something that he had heard and got the policy from another guy who did a college planning seminar maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. So he had the policy, hadn't really done a lot with it, but he brought it into the office and said, can you look at it? Well, oddly enough, the policy was with the same company as one of the companies that I'm contracted with. So it was easy for me to get access and information to the policy. So I called in the policy number, had the client on the phone, authorized me to speak with them about it. Here's what we found. It's a MEC. Now, it was designed as a, quote, infinite banking policy, right? But because he wasn't working with an authorized practitioner, the guy was a mere financial advisor who had read the book about infinite banking and decided, I'm going to set up a marketing campaign called College Funding, and we're going to sell policies. We're going to sell infinite banking policies centered around using it for college funding. It's a great idea. And I'll give the guy credit because he probably had the right heart and intent when he was doing this. I don't think he meant to hurt anyone in any way, but didn't have the background, didn't have the practitioner seal behind him. So he didn't really necessarily know the intricate workings of how to design a policy properly. So what ended up happening with this gentleman who brought the policy into my office is we found out, Eric, that that policy was not only a MEC now, but it was a MEC the day the policy was written. So nobody was aware of it. And if he had an understanding of what a MEC actually looks like, when he did his software models, he probably would have noticed that it was a MEC, but probably went right by and had no idea what he was looking at. That is just simply ignorance or a lack of education. So yeah, it's always a great idea, especially if you're going to start utilizing a policy somehow, or you want to start building the quote, infinite banking system of finance type of thing for yourself. You want to understand, do I have the right kind of policy? Will it work for, quote, banking? Or whether I think I have one or not, is it designed properly? So in other words, is it a MEC? So getting back to a couple questions we've had, these are kind of long answers, but my goodness, those are two excellent, excellent questions. And I wanted to make sure that we had a chance to address Larry and Michelle and get those answered. So I hope that helped a little bit. But yeah, it's probably the biggest problem that I see out there are policies that are misdesigned, packaged and sold to be something that they're not.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. I definitely agree there, Frank, that one of the major keys is finding an authorized practitioner. So the people doing the college planning seminars have a good heart. The problem with a lot of infinite banking policies out there that actually may be an infinite banking policy and may not be a MEC status is they're probably not optimized. And that's the thing. If you're going to be doing this for the banking, you want to make sure that it's optimized. And that's why you really need to find the right agent or advisor that's going to show you how to use it. It's going to make sure that it has that capability. I mean, that's what the modified endowment contract limit is stating. So when we do that with the MEC and we have the paid up addition rider set up properly, we talked about in the previous show where the paid up addition is the turbocharger and the MEC is almost like the red line. And it's like, all right, you don't want to red line this vehicle because you're going to blow up the engine. So as long as you have it designed properly and you don't over accelerate it and rev it too high, then it's going to work like a race car versus maybe that minivan you talked about before, Frank. Let's see. We got another question from Chris in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I think you touched on this, but maybe you can go a little bit deeper. Could a non-MEC policy become a modified endowment policy at a later date? I'm hearing conflicting answers from multiple sources. So I'm just going to say a quick yes. And Frank, you can maybe explain how and why that would occur.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that question, Chris. And that was Chris in Baton Rouge, I think. So, Chris, appreciate the question. And so let's look at this through the lens of infinite banking for a minute, because that's what we talk about a lot. So we just spent some time talking about checking out your policy and finding out if it's a MEC and all that kind of stuff. So now let's assume that you do have a banking policy, and maybe some other infinite banking practitioner put it together, or we even designed a policy for you. Could one of our policies become a MEC? Well, only if you go outside of the, you know, the lines a little bit, you color outside the lines, and yeah, it could become a MEC. But we put safety nets in place with our policies that would keep that from happening. And I'll explain that in a minute. But yes, the answer is yes. So let's just say that you had a policy, a banking policy, where I'll use some numbers. Let's just say the first year you had a $10,000 chunk and you stuck that in a policy because you wanted to kind of, you know, get the policy jump started, have some high cash value built up in it right away. You put $10,000 in and you had a $5,000 annual premium starting in year two. So year two, three, four, you're paying $5,000 a year and so on. You might have a MEC limit for the first 7 years of maybe $14,000-$15,000 because a term rider had been built onto that policy that allowed the MEC limit to be $4,000 or $5,000 above what the initial amount of money was that first year, which was $10,000. So even though now you're paying Erica $5,000 annual premium in year two and three and four, your MEC limit might be sitting at $14,000 or $15,000, which means you have a lot of room. I mean, a lot of room to put money into, remember, the side door of the policy through the rider, which is not the same door that you would put premium dollars into. So it's a separate door, different kind of purpose, different kind of calculation as to how the money is allocated. Yeah, you could put extra monies in, but let's just say your limit was $15,000 and you wrote a check for $15,500. If that check got applied, you'd be $500 over the MEC line, which means once a MEC, always a MEC. Therefore, it is a modified endowment contract. Therefore, you now have a taxable policy. So all those benefits of having a tax favorable strategy and having an insurance policy that has really no tax disadvantages, you now have huge tax disadvantages because now it's crossed over into what's called the investment realm and is now a MEC. Because if you put an extra dollar more than what the MEC limit was, you've triggered a MEC and you can't go back. So the companies that we work with have a safety net put in place because they know that they're working with unique hybrid kind of policies, and they know that they're also working with policies that people are using and max funding and doing that type of work with. So what a lot of these companies have structured that I found is like a little freeze period. So if a client were to send in a check, Eric, and they sent a check in, and to answer Chris's question, they sent a check and the check was for $23 too much. And so it's going to trigger a MEC. They'll freeze the check. They just won't deposit it. And they will then contact me as the agent. They would contact the client and they would say, what do you want us to do with this check? We've got 30 days. It's basically we're sitting on it for 30 days until you tell us what to do. Now, I'm going to tell them to send the check back to us, get the check back to the client, and we'll rewrite it for $23 less because we want to go to the limit, but we don't want to exceed the limit. And then I'll have a little heart-to-heart with the client and explain to them how you almost triggered a MEC. But that 30-day freeze is a big deal. And when companies offer that, it's great. And it's something I always try to negotiate with various carriers. And listen, if my client sends in too much money, you know, and so we found across the board with the carriers that we're working for is that if it's going to trigger a modified endowment contract, they will typically kind of put a hold on that check and then they'll notify you because what they want you to know is that because there's some liability at their end too. What they want you to know is that do you realize if we apply this money, you now have a modified endowment contract? I don't know if you said, yeah, I don't really care. Let's go ahead and apply it. I don't know. I'm just assuming because we've never had a client that actually ever said, let's go ahead and apply it. We always say send the check back if that happens. But I would imagine, Eric, that there's probably a form or something they want you to sign acknowledging the fact that you know darn good and well that you've now turned your policy into a modified endowment contract. So anyway, I would assume in this day and age and paper trails that there's probably something like that. But to answer your question, Chris, yes, above. Contract could become a policy could become a modified endowment contract if you're not careful. If you work with an authorized practitioner, you work with somebody that truly knows how this works at both ends, at your end as well as the insurance company's end, it can be designed to never be a MEC. It can also be designed with a safety net in place that would keep you safe if in the event you ever exceeded your limitations.
Yeah, Frank, I think the thing that we're doing with our clients, and we're not the product pushers out there, and we believe in the concept, we understand the concept. And what we're also doing is we're conducting annual and sometimes quarterly reviews with our clients as far as your goals. Okay, here's financially what we can do. All right, how much would you like to add to your policy this year? And then we're going to make sure that you're not creating these taxable events. So that's one thing that we do, and that's one thing that an authorized practitioner should be doing as well. So, you know, make sure you're working with the right agent and right advisor, and, you know, we'll prevent you from doing these things that could cause the unintended consequences of what you really are trying to achieve with this policy. So, Frank, great call today. You know, I love answering questions. I think next week, get into some more of the reasonings of how and why people are using infinite banking. If you're an agent, I'm sure there's a lot of agents listening to this, and we've been teaching you about how to build this vehicle. If you're an agent and you don't understand and you want to learn more, we'd be happy to work with you and teach you about how to properly design these policies, and maybe we can help set you up for success in the future. I know there's a lot of people who have policies, people who are interested in policies, and what you're really concerned about is, well, is my policy a modified endowment contract? Was it maximized to use the infinite banking concept? Or was I just a victim of some product pusher? And we'd love to address all those issues. So please feel free to call in, visit our website, get in touch with us, and we'll answer those questions to make sure that you're optimized, that your vehicle is ready to go in that turbocharged mode to achieve your goals. Because ultimately, it's all about achieving your goals, not about just creating a life insurance policy. So as a special offer for our listeners of the show, we'd love to give you a free review. So definitely call in. And Frank, is there anything else you wanted to add to this show this week? I think it was great, and looking forward to talking more next week.
Yeah, that is just one of the questions that we get a lot, is the modified endowment contract questions. Because when you read all the books and you read the information and material about infinite banking, you start all of a sudden peeling back layers and you start discovering this thing called the modified endowment contract. And it's normal for people to automatically start having, you know, fear and reservations about what is that? How does it work? So these are great questions today, but it's nothing to fear. You just have to build it right. The spirit of the modified endowment contract is something I don't have a problem with. I understand why they passed it and put it in place. We just have to build policies properly. It's like building a house with the right foundation, the right walls, the right structure, so that when you're functioning, you're living in this house, it doesn't collapse around you like a modified endowment contract would. A modified endowment contract would be similar to having a house with no foundation. You know, at some point in time, you know, the wind blows and the walls fall down. So that's the biggest thing with that. So those are excellent questions. I look forward to the next call and what we're going to be discussing on that. Anytime we're talking about the modified endowment contract, I get a little excited because it's definitely something that I love talking about.
Well, thank you so much, Frank. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. And we look forward to next week. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Foundation podcast. The contents of this podcast are for informational and educational purposes only and not to be viewed as advice. Results may vary, and listeners are encouraged to seek professional financial advice. To learn more or to submit a question, please visit www.thewealthfoundation.org or call 844-OWN-BANK. That's 844-696-2265. Find us on your favorite social media by searching for #TheWealthFoundation.